welcome to the Android Central Podcast. It is episode number 174 for Friday, March 14th, 2014. It is Pi Day, and I don't know about you guys. I hate Pi Day. I just muted Pi on Twitter, so I'm tired of hearing about Pi Day. Again, this year, 314? Anyway, how's it going? I'm Phil Nickinson. If you didn't notice, we are back on our usual Hangout channel this week, which is awesome after last week's shenanigans. Much love to the people who helped me out with that and get everything straightened out. So we're back to our normal selves, and it's a beautiful Friday. I've got my window closed, so I can't see out right now, but I guarantee you it's beautiful. I'm in a good mood. These guys are all in a good mood, I think. Jerry Hildenbrand in West Virginia.
In a great mood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank the wine for that.
Alex Doby in England.
Hey, everyone.
Andrew Martinick in Seattle. Is it sunny or not sunny there?
So sunny that I have my blinds down and it's still this bright.
I'm sure they'll put a stop to that pretty soon, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the clouds are still there. It'll happen.
So, enough about the weather, I think. What do you guys want to talk about this week?
Where should we start?
We talked about Android and things, by the way.
Yeah, things have been leaking.
Yes. So, if it's your first time here, by the way, hi. We're doing this live. If you're listening to it recorded, this is what it looks like live. Only not live. I don't know. Something. All right, so leaking things. Things are leaking.
We've got the new HTC One, which has slowly been trickling out. We had a couple of big things this week. First up came from Australia, Telstra, one of their carriers over there. Someone tracked down basically a full spread ad for this thing, talking a lot about some of the new software features. Those were, that was basically the big gap in our knowledge about this device. We had a look at it. We know basically what it looks like, the general gist of the hardware. But a couple of interesting things, the duo camera setup, which is the weird dual camera setup that got going on around the back. They're calling it duo camera with ultra pixel. And we've got to talk about vivid images, even in low light, professional editing stuff, choose where to focus, highlight what you love, soften the background, add 3D effects and whatever. So they're obviously doing a bunch of really unique stuff with the camera. Also a couple of interesting things in Sense 6. We've all seen the leaked home screen render or whatever, still looks basically like Sense. But there are a couple of interesting things. Double tap to unlock, so similar to what LG's doing with Knock On. And you can swipe to the right to go straight into blink feed even when it's powered down or when it's in sleep mode. So that's kind of interesting.
Stop there, because I want to reiterate just how awesome it is being able to just tap on your phone to turn it on. Yeah. If you haven't used it, it is the best, especially for big phones. And I think that's going to change the entire feel for the HTC One for me, because it's still bigger than I'd like. But just being able to do it, and here's not code again. Here's the next iteration. Can I get it? Ooh, see, it worked on the G Pro 2. And it's a big deal.
It's a big deal. And if you look at where the power button is on, see here on the M7, it's on the other side on the M8, which is maybe going to be a little bit more difficult to hit if you're right-handed. But having this, swipe to get into blink feed, double tap to power it on, that's just basically going to completely get rid of the issue where you have to reach up to the top trim to power it on. So that's probably, if that's accurate, that's a very good thing.
Jerry looks bored. Jerry's bored by the new HTC.
I'm just listening. No, I can't wait to get to that 2-megapixel camera. And oh, I'm sorry.
There were a lot of complaints I heard from people saying that, like, nowhere have we seen written down how many megapixels this camera is. But
well, if you do the math, all the numbers referring to the pixel size and the sensor size are the same as they were for the old HTC One, which would seem to suggest that it's probably the same 4 megapixels. We don't know yet.
Well, and moreover, HTC is not gonna go back on what it did last year when it tried to move everybody away from the conversation of how many megapixels a camera. Right? That wasn't the point of the ultra pixel, right? The point was more light. Don't worry how many pixels are on this thing. It was the size of the pixel.
Except you kind of have to, because one of the issues that I had with the old HTC One was that you had problems with, the megapixel count was relatively low compared to other phones. You had issues with noise because you just didn't have that extra resolution there to sort of fill out the image and absorb some of the damage that noise causes. So I maybe would have been a bit happier if it was, I mean, we're speculating, of course, maybe would have been a bit happier if the megapixel count was higher. That's just my own personal preference. But if they can keep the same 4 megapixels, but get rid of some of the issues they had with noise, get rid of the narrow dynamic range, just have it, you know, looking as good in daylight shots and shots with mixed lighting as it did in low light and indoors, then I think that's going to be a big thing for them.
As long as they keep that shutter speed, because I mean, you use the G2, it's got a great camera, or I'm finding out these Sony cameras are amazing. The iPhone, it's got a great camera too, but the HTC One, you pull it out of your pocket, point it at something, tap the button, and it instantly takes a damn picture.
Mm-hmm.
And chances are that picture is more than good enough for Google Plus or Facebook. And that's a big draw. I don't want that to go away.
So, Jerry, you've been using the Xperia Z1S with a 20-megapixel camera. I guess it downsamples to 8 by default. But have you been finding that compared to the HTC One? Because my experience with Sony cameras is always that, especially the new ones, the capture speeds are still pretty much instant, even though you get much larger image.
If you set it to, you know, any of the automatic modes, yeah, the pictures are nice and fast. They take just a second to focus, and they'll snap a quick picture and be ready for the next one. If you don't move it, the next picture's almost instant. I found, and it could be just this model, or it could be just my model, or it could be my method. If I set it to manual mode and not use, you know, superior auto or night or any of those fancy settings, I get much, much better pictures, but of course it takes longer to take them. So I'm still learning, I guess.
Do they need to get away from having a shutter button?
No, all phones need to have one.
Really?
No. To me, the thing is, the shutter buttons on Sony phones are really useful for isn't as a shutter. It's
not a physical button, but the button on the screen versus.
Yes,
I think that's just a matter of preference, really. I mean, it's just something you have to get over. It's just kind of a legacy thing. I mean, we saw the Tap Anywhere to focus and capture on the Moto X was useful, but if you're used to the other way, I mean, I don't see any problem with having an option like the Moto X, but
I don't know. I don't see anything wrong with having just a button on screen that takes a picture. That I'm fine with that. That works.
All right, fair enough.
You've
if I don't prefer it, it must
pills.
Be wrong.
Yeah. So micro SD slot. So yeah.
They caved.
And apparently there's a 16 gig model. We've seen various leaked things. We've seen an Elite 16 and an Elite 32. The 32 is on Verizon. Apparently 10 available plus micro SD.
Which you have to look back and try to figure out why there was no micro SD card slot in the M7. Is it because they couldn't get it in the unibody? Is it because they didn't want to support it? You know, having one in the M8 doesn't really surprise me.
I should have a better answer for that.
I heard originally, I don't know how accurate this is from an engineering source, that originally it was to keep the enterprise people happy, that they felt that microSD was an unsecure block of storage, that they didn't want it in there.
Same that
I heard. Device.
And that makes sense, and now Google has fixed, I hate to use the word fixed, Google has changed it to be more secure.
Okay, well let's break off from these leaks and talk about that for a minute. Jerry did it.
Do we have to?
Yes, we absolutely have to, because I promised it in the trailer for this week's show.
God.
So yes, and I was actually gonna try to explain it myself, but then I didn't have time to go back and read your piece as a cheat sheet again. I'm going to attempt it because
yeah, go for it.
I get why Google did what it did. So the big deal is in KitKat and Android 4 whatever. Or 4.4 or whatever, Google changed it so that, you know, just random app that you install can no longer write to the SD card, correct?
It can no longer write just anywhere on the SD card.
Anywhere on the SD card. And that was for a couple reasons. One was to clean things up.
Right, which was desperately needed. I mean, but there's not much more to say about that, so most of the rants about SD cards only mention that in passing because it cleans things up.
But that's why is that a bigger deal than just it cleans things up?
Because
what do we mean? What do you mean when you say it cleans things up? Is it just spraying files everywhere?
Yes, a lot of apps just dump. Some of them dump right in the root of the SD. Some make their own folder. There is a place where data folders are supposed to be, and a lot of apps just ignore that and put them anywhere they want. And if you switch phones and switch SD cards, you eventually end up with a huge mess that you have no idea what's good and what's not good.
And then a side effect of that was because apps could write anywhere on the SD card, they could write into other folders right. that don't belong to them.
Right. And if a developer followed all the best practices for their app, anything sensitive or anything used when the app starts up would be in its own private folder on the internal, not the internal SD storage, but the internal data storage that's completely sandboxed. But not every developer follows all the best practices, and you don't want an app that Jerry wrote while he had too many beers being able to inject data into the app you use to pay your credit card. And that was physically possible. I could write to the file that a banking app per se. I don't know any banking apps that code themselves wrong, but if one did and put a file on the SD card, I could overwrite that file with my own data.
And the reason for that, and somebody was giving us a hard time on Twitter about this, but the reason for that is because when you format an SD card, you have to format it in FAT, in FAT, in that file structure.
That's
FAT
part of the reason, yes.
FAT does not allow for permissioning the way that EXT does, which is how Android devices are formatted. Right.
And everybody, the first thing out of everybody's mouth is, well, just format them EXT and fine-grain the permissions. Can't do it. If you like to take your SD card and stick it in a camera or stick it in a stereo or stick it in your car and switch back and forth between phones, it needs to be formatted as a FAT file system. That they come that way out of the package, so they just work. There are better file systems. Microsoft even uses a much better file system now. They've moved away, but there are no universal file systems that aren't FAT-based.
So at this point, somebody has already gone on Reddit, I think, and called Andrew a Google apologist for everything you and I just said.
That's fine. Better him than us.
That sounds about right.
So, I mean, but Jerry, we're not 100% like happy about this, right? Like, there's good and bad with this.
See, and that's the kicker. You're going to have two camps of people. I judge it by facial hair. The more facial hair you have, the happier you're going to be with changes that make for better security. But all joking aside, I think what Google's doing is great. I am very upset that more developers haven't updated their apps so their apps just work, because Google did provide APIs to use a file as a type of content instead of just a file, which means instead of, if you would plug your phone in and open up the console, you could type the command to move or copy a file from one place to the other. You can't do that on the SD card as a normal app anymore, but you can call that file a content type and take a little bit of control over it and write it to your own storage on the card. So apps can be updated, and a lot of apps have. I use Pocket Cast as an example because it was updated quickly and it works.
The other thing that you and I talked about not being very happy with was the way manufacturers have handled this. And right. Specifically, but specifically Samsung, because a lot of Samsung devices are being updated right now. We've been hearing from Note owners left and right.
I am going to piss off everybody, but Samsung wanted to make KitKat work the same as you're used to, where you can have full access to the SD card, and they wanted to keep what you have, so you have no big changes, and they weren't allowed to. That's just, Google said no. You can get mad at Google if you want. Google has their reasons that they don't share with us, but Google refused that to let that happen. Now, on the other hand, if you want to look against, get mad at Samsung, when you get the update on your Note 3 to KitKat, I think the very first thing you see should be a warning, say, hi, you've downloaded your update. Why don't you press this button and pause it and go through and use this little tool to make sure all your application data is off the SD card because stuff's going to change. And Samsung didn't even bother to warn anybody. They just changed it. And that's not good user experience. I'm not saying I could have handled it any better by any means because that's a big undertaking. But something needed to be done and nothing was. And on the other hand, when they were telling us about immersive mode and all this other great stuff in KitKat, somebody should have said, oh, and when you update, it's going to affect your SD card, so here's a help page. And Google did not do that.
But if you're using a Nexus, then what SD card?
I know. It's. You know, I don't know what to say. I like some of the changes. I hate the way they all were handled. And I completely understand people that don't like the changes because not everyone is Jerry.
Suddenly I'm picturing a world full of Jerrys.
Jerry.
It's a happy place.
Oh, yeah, especially after 5 p.m.
I think that just about explains it.
Well, one last thing. You got to remember, this is all our best guess. I spent a lot of time looking into this issue and read through countless code comments and Google groups and everything else. Google doesn't bother to tell us why they do the things they do. So we have to try to piece the pieces together and make sense from it. And that's all I did. If somebody at Google is laughing and saying, that crazy guy from Android Central doesn't have a clue, it's because you didn't tell me and made me guess.
Do you think now that Google has kind of reined in SD cards, that they have that sort of under control now, that we might go back to sort of an official, you know, maybe if not a Nexus, then a Google-sanctioned device with an SD card in?
I think we've got one more step, and I'm sure there's a method. I think the next step is to allow, let's say, if Alex writes a music player, that app will have access to the music folder, the actual system folder, including the one on the SD card. I think that's the next step. And once they get that straightened out, definitely, I see SD cards back. You know, there's no reason not to.
Yep, I agree.
Yep.
Are we done with SD cards?
I think we are. I mean, okay. There's not much more to say. We could complain about it, I guess. And start
Miller time, man.
No, I mean, it's good to understand it. You don't have to like it, but I think we all need to understand it as best
we
can. And,
no, we shouldn't like it. We should question everything. Well, Phil, you know that. I work for you. I'm a firm believer in questioning everything. And that way you find out why things were done.
You want to do some Q&A?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, see some Q&A.
My favorite part of the week. We'll just start at the top. Brian asks, with the spec starting to be released for the OnePlus One, what do you think? Oh. Is it living up to the hype? So this is that. Is it a Chinese manufacturer?
Yes, a former Oppo guy that was running.
Yeah, right. They've been not leaking, but putting out specs of this never settle phone in drips and drabs. And
spoiler alert: you're going to have to settle.
I don't like the way they're doing it. I think it's a little ridiculous. I haven't seen anything that doesn't sound like a smartphone. I mean, there's been nothing there that makes me think this is going to be better than anything you can actually buy. I haven't actually seen a phone yet.
Well, so we haven't heard that from every other manufacturer before about how they're, you know, what they're coming out with is one better than everybody else.
Exactly.
But I mean, what they're doing is they're getting their, you know, from their strategy of just effectively smack talking about every other manufacturer out there, it's forcing this narrative of they're competing with, you know, Samsung, Apple, Windows Phone, HTC, whoever, which, you know, whether it's true or not remains to be seen, but that's the message they've been able to somewhat successfully spread up until now.
Impress me with the phone.
Yeah.
There you go. I have nothing to say about it until I've got one in my grubby little hands.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, impress me with your hardware.
I've been fooled. You've been fooled. We've all been fooled.
Yeah. Mike writes, do you guys think older Samsung phones, such as the Note 3 and the Galaxy S4, by the way, we're calling them old now, will eventually receive the new TouchWiz version from the Galaxy S5? That is a good question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we asked Samsung that at MWC, and they were kind of non-committal about it.
Probably don't know yet.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, and that's the other thing.
I mean, these are devices
that don't know much more than we do.
They all just got KitKat with, you know, the old, you know, well, quote unquote old interface. So I mean, you can imagine it's going to be a while.
Maybe, and the it is kind of a departure from what they've been doing in the past. If you look at the magazine UX on some of the tablets, that's sort of a halfway house between the two designs. If they get it, I think it's going to be like what happened with the Note 2 and the S3 when they got updated. It's going to be, you're going to get bits of that. You probably get the new icons, the new styles. It'll be the features that maybe get left behind.
I say no. Just like we were talking about the SD cards, when you just randomly change something with an update, we can deal with it, the four of us, and the, you know, the X number of people that are going to listen to this podcast, they can figure it out and deal with it. But can your mom? I can hear it out. Alex, my phone's changed. Help.
They did bring the Galaxy S2 up to ICS.
But they didn't change TouchWiz. I mean,
well, they changed it. Maybe not dramatically, but honestly, what's on the Note 3 and then what's on the S5 isn't dramatic. I mean, there are new features and things are different, but nobody's going to get, you know, thrown back in their chair from an update.
And look, people coped with iOS 6 to iOS 7, normal people. Mm-hmm. Some people freaked out about it, but I think, you know, TouchWiz looks different on the GS5, but it still looks more or less like TouchWiz. So I don't think it's going to be, I don't know, I don't think that the sort of freak out factor where your phone has suddenly changed, I think it's easy to overstate that. And, you know, HTC is another one of these manufacturers that has brought Sense 5, which is radically different to anything they had before, to Sense 4 phones. And, you know, they have a smaller market share, and I guess you could argue they're less mainstream, but, you know, the user base still manages to adjust to it.
If anything keeps it from happening, it's not going to be that the new TouchWiz looks different than the old TouchWiz. I think it's going to be back-end stuff and file structures and things like that, and just in sheer size, maybe. I mean, we still don't know officially like how big the release ROMs are going to be, and that's something to take into consideration.
Like I said, it's just we just saw KitKat roll out to a lot of these devices.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, they had to, you know, put the stop at some point and say, okay, this is where we're going to put the update out to. But, you know, there are still versions of the Note 3 and S4 that aren't completely updated yet. And now we're already talking about getting a completely new interface. I think that's maybe a bit much to ask, you know, in the same month.
Ryan wants to know, what happened to the Nexus 10 2014?
That is a good question.
No idea what you're talking about, man. Never heard of it.
What's the Nexus 10 2014?
Don't know.
I regret nothing. I can't talk about anything that I might know, guys. There's nothing to know. It's just we don't know.
Ricardo writes, do you think the size of the Galaxy S5 is just a little too big for most people compared to older Galaxy devices? I think the Note line and just the popularity of those damn things has declared me wrong on that forever.
And I think just the popularity of the S4 shows you that the S5 is not going to be too big.
There's a size difference, isn't there?
Yeah.
One's a very sort of slim bezeled, like 4.95 or 5 inch. The other one is looks kind of chunkier because it's got all the waterproofing stuff in there, and it's 5.1. So
I still didn't think that it felt substantially like a different line of phones. Like the Note feels like a different line of device because it's larger.
I disagree with that.
I thought the S4 was the only 5 inch phone that actually feels good in your hand. Not counting the plastic on the back, but it's shaped well.
Picking it up this week again for the first time in a while, I don't disagree. And there's Note 3 versus GS4.
Yeah, I
don't disagree. Probably still not my favorite phone, but not as bad as I seem to remember it. And it's funny how that happens when you don't use a phone for a while and you come back to it, you're like,
That's not necessarily you changing. That's the phone changing as well through updates and stuff. GS4 was at launch.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that did a lot to turn us off to it.
I want a phone that's shaped like the S4 with the screen of the G2 and the software from the Nexus 5 and the buttons on the back.
And boom sound.
One plus one? Make that for us and call it the best phone ever.
Never settle. Ben writes, can we expect Google Play editions of the Galaxy S5 and the new HTC One? Since Android updates for Google Play Edition devices still come from the manufacturers and have been very timely, and Google Play Edition devices are a priority for Google and manufacturers.
I'm going to say yes.
Yes.
Both. Yeah?
I'm going to say yes.
And when it doesn't happen, we'll find somebody else to blame.
It will happen.
I think it will.
It's going to happen.
What do you think of Google Wallet's update that will require Android 4.4 to use Tap and Pay? Asked Ryan Saldana.
Carrier and the people that made your phone.
Yeah, I think it makes sense, considering the fact that, you know, at first you think KitKat's only a 5% devices. Okay, that kind of sucks. But
that's going to change soon, though.
Technically, I mean, the number of people who can actually use Tap and Pay the proper way and do use it is such a small number of people that, you know, it makes sense that Google would just cut that off and go straight to the host card emulation that could sidestep all that carrier and operator BS that gets in the way.
Pick up your phone and you'll see it says Samsung or whoever on one side, and it says Verizon or T-Mobile, whoever on the other side. Yell at those people. Yeah. They want that secure element to only work with ISIS. They have screwed Google, therefore they have screwed you.
And Google can't continue to support the secure element side of it if they want to go ahead with this host card emulation not needing it. You know, that's kind of how that has to work.
Right. You can't kill all the future features for the 2% of the phones that allowed your app to work.
Yeah.
Michael has a good question. Since switching to Google Play Newsstand, I've noticed the news does not update as quickly as Currents. That's the predecessor. Even manually refreshing sites seem to do nothing. It's always 2 to 3 hours behind the actual website. Am I doing anything wrong or missing anything? No, that's just the way it works. Look, we've been involved with this. I mean, not involved, but we've been listed in these things since the start. And they have never been as quick as RSS or as quick as the apps. It just has to do with how the service fetches the stories. And I don't think it's meant to be real time. I think it's really meant to be more of a, not long form, but a magazine thing where,
browsing.
Where
it's not just for people who obsessively follow news.
Right. You want the RSS central readers. App. Yeah. You know, you want our app if you want, you know, the news as soon as it's up. Absolutely. Or the website. Website's fine too. We make money off the website. You know, we don't actually make money off the app, guys. As much as I love it, as much as I push it, and I absolutely recommend downloading it if you haven't. You know, think about that. And go download the app. Don't listen to me. Use the app. Andy writes, will Google Play Edition phones ever be available outside the U.S.?
No. That is a good question.
That's kind of a weird one.
They're available and that you can import them, but I guess he means officially. It comes down to the purpose of what Google Play devices are actually for. And it's, like I think I said in that editorial a couple of months ago, the main purpose behind them isn't necessarily putting a phone in your hand and catering to the few thousand people who actually want, you know, someone's a manufacturer's top level phone with Google's best software on it. It comes down to, I think, effectively getting code in manufacturers' hands more early than before and getting them better acquainted with Android and working with them closely as you have to do when you release a device with your software and their hardware. So whether there's anything in it for, you know, whether Google would ever want to do anything besides, you know, just a very small release in the US, I don't know. We'll have to see if these crazy rumors about the Nexus program going away are true, then, you know, that's obviously what will replace it, and that'll probably be available internationally as well. But for the moment, it's kind of this weird niche that's only in the US, and I don't really expect that to change.
Man, go ahead, Jerry.
I'll say also, all the licensing and agreements that Google has with other countries just to sell the Nexus for things like cryptography and patented software, each Google Play edition would have to have all that done separately. So it would be a legal nightmare of epic proportions, especially as we get more players in the Google Play edition program. HTC, Samsung, LG, they do that. They have a big division in their company that takes care of all this legal stuff. I don't think Google has something like that for hardware yet.
Thinking about this, actually, kind of an aside, the number one complaint I've had since switching back to the HTC One had nothing to do with the phone. It was the software. And I think I'm going to start buying developer versions, not quite Google Play Edition. Because I still like the idea of even, you know, the parts of Sense that I'm not completely crazy about. It still gives the phone the identity. But Jesus, this carrier software on there, it's just, it's horrible. I have two versions of TuneIn Radio on here, and I can't get rid of one of them. I don't need an AT&T contact list. I don't need AT&T Wi-Fi. I mean, I've hidden a lot of this. I can't even see it now, but it's just like, So, sorry, hey, Google Play Edition got me thinking about that.
Hey, Phil.
Yes.
Holo YOLO, baby.
Serious question here, guys, asks Andy. Red or white? Wine, that is.
Red.
Red.
See, we're hitting the spring, and I'm starting to get spring fever a little bit. I mean, it's like 70 degrees here already. Oh, that's when I start moving to white wine. Not right this second.
I mean, I never turn it down if somebody offers it to me.
Especially if it's free.
Of course.
All right, a couple more, then we'll actually get back on some news. Mike writes, since Google is starting to ruin Android, will you guys start covering or create an Ubuntu Central site? Jerry.
Wait, ruined in Ubuntu in the same sentence?
Yeah, no until comment. Ubuntu starts to ruin Linux. And then
the neckbeards are sharpening pitchforks right now.
Okay, this next question actually leads back into a little bit of news today. Billy writes, I was looking forward to the Asus Transformer Book Duet. Will we ever see or get an Android / Windows 8 dual booting machine? No,
I think not. No. I mean, supposedly there were factions within Microsoft that wanted it and factions that didn't. And supposedly there was all this stuff going on last year that Microsoft was looking at approaching manufacturers about having dual booting phones as well, which is an even worse idea. I don't really think anyone benefits besides the holder of the smaller ecosystem in that equation when that kind of device gets put out. And if you know, if Microsoft was behind it, that would be, you know, they would want to try to sort of muscle in on Android by putting it on a phone and you know, having the option there, so they're kind of like a Trojan horse on the phone. You can switch to Windows Phone if you want, and maybe just people are buying Android phones anyway, so that's the way to get in there. On the laptop front, I think things are a little bit weirder. There's some ambiguity as to whether it was Google or Microsoft that put their foot down. Certainly, I don't think that kind of device is good for Google, really, because it's, I mean, it's just, it's detracting from their overall ecosystem, isn't it?
Who wants this?
Yeah, I don't understand.
I get that us nerds would think this is cool and actually use it, but normal consumers, right? Would your parents want this? What would they do with it? Why would you know, if I'm a happy Windows 8 user, and I think there's a lot about Windows 8 to like, Jesus, some of the apps Dan Rubino was showing me, just they look like crap sitting here on a Mac and just beautifully done in Windows. You know, it has other issues. But if I'm perfectly happy with that, why would I want to stop what I'm doing, reboot, you know, download something from Google Play that's, you know, built for a phone or maybe a tablet if you're lucky? And it just, just makes no sense. It feels like, this feels like 3D all over again. Like the manufacturer's like, all right, we got to do something new. What can we do that's not going to piss off Google?
It's not even necessarily new. Dual booting's been around forever, and it's never really given anyone a good user experience. The only
HTC Advantage.
Yeah, I mean, the decent implementation, I think, was probably, although, yeah, the best implementation has been Bootcamp, which still has its issues, but it's, I think, weaned a lot of people off Windows by saying, okay, here's Windows, you can go back to it if you want, if you need to, you know, if there's one app that you need to run on Windows, that can be your thing there. And then, you know, for everything else, here's OS X that works beautifully on the hardware that we have.
I'm looking through links for the rest of the podcast. We want to talk about all these app updates this week. So we talked about the Google Wallet thing a little bit. You know what I want to talk about? I want to talk about the Google Drive storage.
Yes.
That's kind of a big deal.
That's kind of interesting.
So if you somehow missed the news, Google basically gave the finger to most every other cloud-based storage and significantly lowered its prices. So you get 15 gigabytes for free, 100 gigabytes for $199 a month. That's $2 a month. That's $24 a year.
And it was $5 a month.
Right, it was $5. Which
already wasn't killing you.
Yeah. A terabyte for $10 a month. 10 terabytes or more for $99 a month.
Insane.
I did a quick comparison with the other ones that are out there. And there'll be a link in the show notes. Just go look. But, I mean, basically nothing compares. Now, that's not to say that, look, I've got gigabytes and gigabytes of space here. I haven't paid for any of it, I don't think, because Dropbox has its referral program. Copy has a referral program. It's perfectly possible to go through life without ever paying for cloud storage. You get a bunch a lot of times when you buy a new phone because of promotional deals. The timing is interesting, right? Because we're starting to see a lot of these Dropbox deals go away. I think it was back with the HTC One X and the One S. You got a bunch of Dropbox space. And then, you know,
25 start, gigs or something like that. Yeah, Samsung had it for a while.
Yeah. So it's, you know, great move. Great move by Google.
But I think the problem is going to be getting people like us off Dropbox when everyone is already on Dropbox and everyone's stuff is already on Dropbox.
And it works fine.
Big shares, you get entangled with shared folders and things like that. You know, you have 25 gigs or 50 gigs of shared folders between people. It's a real hassle. Even though Drive works pretty much the same way, it's just my issue with Drive is the way it integrates with Docs. It just gets things a little confusing. I like that my documents are in, you know, Drive or Google Docs, and then I have all of my other things in Dropbox as just a folder, you know, just a hard drive. And just the Mac app just doesn't really handle syncing the proper way. And, you know, things are just a little messy to where, yeah, I mean, the prices could get, you know, they could cut the prices in half again, and it's still, there's still a barrier to moving your stuff.
You just hate it. I use Google Drive. I got a free terabyte with a Pixel.
Right.
Of course I'm going to use it.
I have 250 gigs from Chrome OS devices and all that stuff. And, you know, I'm using like 4 gigs because, things are in Dropbox.
I have no problem with the Mac app. It works just like Dropbox. There's a folder there. Fill it up with subfolders. Put all your stuff in it.
It's just the way that it syncs and crashes and does weird things. It's not work the same exact way.
I agree with you with the Docs integration. Things get messy and hard to find once you get a lot of stuff in there. They need to work on that.
I mean, it's always kind of felt tacked on to when they announced Drive, and they were like, oh, it's just this button that's now in Google Docs, and it's just called Drive now. I think it would be easier if they just kind of siloed it, used the same storage, and they just said, you know, two different websites or two different tabs in Drive. Just say you go over to your documents.
Yeah, a folder in Drive named Documents that has its own tab. Agreed, that'd be perfect.
No.
Keep that mess away from my other mess. That way I only have...
Exactly, your file structure that you have sitting in there.
Do you guys want to switch? Are we all happy?
Yes, like switch. I hate everything that's not Google.
No, Dropbox works really well.
You know what? I would like to consolidate. When my free terabytes are gone, I'll probably ditch Drive if we don't use it. I hate that, but I will.
I have so much stuff in Dropbox.
Nope.
But I mean, just look at how well Dropbox has held out against Copy and Box have tried so hard by offering tons of free storage, and Copy gives you 500 gigs for $15 a month. It's, you know, like that's a huge amount of storage, and people just still stick with the 2 gigabytes free on Dropbox and, you know, referral themselves up to 15 gigs or whatever, and they deal with it instead.
Yeah, it also makes you wonder what is going to be what, if anything, can be done by, you know, Google or Box or anyone to, you know, shift people who are really entrenched in the Dropbox world with lots of shares on that. And I don't know.
I think Apple should buy Dropbox. I really do. If Apple acquired Dropbox, that would mean Apple and Google have another arena where they need to compete with each other. And look how great that made Android.
Yeah.
We can look at the iPhone and thank it for Android being as good as it is. Sorry, but it's the truth. So Apple, buy Dropbox. Do that for me, Tim. Just pull out your wallet. You got it in there.
Let's go through some of these other app updates. The Google Play Store one is actually pretty interesting, I think. Specifically new password options. So you can set Was it you can set how long before somebody can you buy an app, you put in your password for the next 30 minutes, anything else is, it's not free, but you don't have to put the password back in, right? And so parents, you know, have been giving their kids phones and the kids have started buying things, and apparently that's Google's fault, which I think is ridiculous. I have two kids who steal my phones. You know, just don't give it to them.
Oh my gosh, I'm back.
Hey, we missed you.
I swear I made a good point there while I was talking.
But, yeah, I mean, look, that's a good thing, right? So having the option to put a to require a password every time something is purchased, that's good. For me, I don't need it. Every 30 minutes is fine. I like having it there just in case. But, you know, I also put a password on all my phones now. So, I don't know. The other thing is what? When you can mass install previously installed apps now.
Can't mass remove things from that list anymore, which is super annoying.
I don't care. Really? Mass install is going to be so awesome.
Mass install is great, but they really just needed to keep that option that you can remove, you know, 50 of them at a time, because we install so many apps and then uninstall them. And they sit in that all tab.
Yeah, but that's us. That's
Mass install, is that going to mean that you have to always back up your phone to Google, your Google account, or is that going to be standalone just through Google Play?
That's the same. That's just a list that's populated by anytime you hit install to a phone, it shows up in that list.
Okay.
I'm excited about it. Again, just for me. Because I'm normal.
That's why Google does things just for you, Phil.
I like to think so, but that's not true at all. The Chromecast app was updated. You know, minor stuff there. What else? We had a whole bunch of app updates the other day. Do you guys remember anything big? YouTube update was funny. Yeah, they accidentally pushed out a dog fooding version again. That's not the first time. And I want to say it was YouTube last time, wasn't it?
I think so.
I think it was.
Was it the Play Store? No.
I'm pretty sure it was YouTube.
You know, they pushed out a dog food version of Search for just a few minutes yesterday, too.
Oh, really?
Yep. Oops. If you went into the settings, there was all these crazy options that had the word dog food on it.
Hey, by the way, there are some actual reasons why you might not want that sort of test beta build of a Google app, or of any app, really.
Never. Install them all.
Fine.
Keep that version and never get rid of it.
I was just going to say there could be hooks in there that keep things from running as quickly as they might otherwise.
Probably are.
So, you know, if something seems, you know, janky, then that could be why.
You know what I did yesterday with the YouTube app? I tore it apart just on the off chance that there was a proxy address in there that you could pretend you're a Google employee and instantly get all Google app updates. I had to try. There's not, but I had to look.
Where's Jerry? Oh, he's in jail. I mean, not the first time we've had to speak those words out loud.
Hey.
What else? Translate got an update for new languages. That's always important. Maps lets you find upcoming events when you search a place by name. That's actually really cool, and they did a separate post on that somewhere.
You know that, too? I saw that yesterday, and I'm like, well, that's not new, because I've seen that before.
Oh, really?
And then I found out that limited users could always see that on the web.
Mm.
And I just was one of the lucky ones that could see it. That's why I didn't think it was new.
Yeah, I saw Google do another post like calling for venues to submit their show list and stuff. So Chrome beta, and we already talked about Wallet. I thought there was another one today. What was the search update?
Cricket scores.
Alex
is all over that one.
I thought it was the carrier cricket when it said now available.
I said cricket.
I'm like, they couldn't use Google search before?
Which they just, you know, finally got purchased by AT&T, so they better be able to.
Let's do a few more Q&A questions, I think. Let's see. Oh, here's a good one from Ryan Boyle. Last year's Google I.O., it was announced the APKs that enable a notification to be dismissed on one device, and then it will dismiss it on all devices. Why is this not implemented on everything? Even some Google apps don't implement it.
Most Google apps don't implement it.
Yeah, you're right. Most of them don't.
I think the calendar does.
One at a time, girls. Oh.
No.
I don't have any issues with that anymore, really. I don't go to the Nexus 7 or whatever after having not used it for a few hours and have a bunch of notifications to dismiss anymore. Generally, stuff just goes away now.
Let me see how bad it is on my Nexus 7 right now.
Oh, it's really bad for me still. It's just calendar does it. Obviously, Gmail does it because just the way that it marks emails is red. Twitter doesn't. Facebook, Google Plus is still inconsistent. Google Voice, it hasn't done it for years for me.
And Google just, Voice is a separate mess anyway.
Voice is a completely separate mess. But the question still stands. You know, I don't know. I'm trying to think of a third party app, a non-Google app that's implementing the notification sync.
It's kind of not the same thing, but I tell you, I use Timely for my alarm clock.
Mm-hmm.
And I love being able to, because I have one phone in the bedroom and then one phone like out in the hutch in our kitchen. And like this week, my wife...
you can find Phil by following the phones.
I know, right? No, this week, my wife was kind of sick and coughing and stuff, so I get up and go sleep on the couch one night. And the alarm goes off, you know, near me in the kitchen, and I get up and turn it off, and I didn't have to like run my ass to the bedroom to turn that one off, even though it of course woke Shannon up. I didn't have to like run in there to turn it off because Timely syncs across your accounts and does things the right way, and you turn it off on one phone and it dismisses it on all the other phones. I mean, not the same thing.
Wait, your wife is ill, and in her time of need, you haul your butt out to the couch so you don't have to listen to her cough.
I didn't mention the rest of the time when she sleeps on the couch because I'm snoring so bad. Either.
I'm just kidding you, Phil. Relax.
Sorry, honey. I love you.
I love you.
Can't help it. I mean, I could. I don't know. See, Ricardo says Timely is amazing. He agrees with me.
Yeah.
Therefore, I am right.
I like Timely now that there's no more spam involved.
Yes.
Oh.
Did that dismiss on that phone, Jerry, or all your phones?
That's the shield. It doesn't count.
Jeff says, someone just activated OK Google on my phone during a live podcast. OK Google now! We're going to have to start doing that every week just to screw with people, I think. Or not. Fine.
Blake writes, do you guys foresee the rumored Metal GS 5 actually happening relatively soon after launch?
I think if Samsung does that to you, you should revolt. If Samsung builds a different model that just is made of metal and charges more money for it, or you know, in any way makes you think your one you just bought is obsolete, you should give them 9 shades of heck.
You tell them there, Jerry.
Come on, man, that's ridiculous.
A couple of things here. Samsung isn't. I think that would be kind of a dumb move for them to do that right away. I don't know whether they could maybe come out with something further down the line that's positioned between the S5 and the Note that is a bit bigger, that has that crazy display we've all been hearing about, that maybe has the 805, Snapdragon 805 with a crazy GPU that does 4K. That might make more sense, but I don't see, you know, coming to May or even June and Samsung just saying, oh, hey, here's this phone that's better than the GS5. Screw you, everyone who bought one.
I hope not. What you said before about, you know, let's try the newer internals now that they're available and we put it in a different shell. I can swallow that. I mean, they're allowed to build new phones, but don't take the same one I just bought and do the one thing that everybody last year screamed for you to do and then charge more for it and then show me troll face and laugh. That's ridiculous.
That would be on the box, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I think there was something on JK Shin today in the quote from him in the Korean press where he was saying that supposedly the quote was that he was denying that, but the translation was so bad that you couldn't really tell what what he was actually meant to be saying. The other thing that was in that was that, of course, there's going to be a new Galaxy Note 4 this year,
right,
which is to no one's surprise. So that's obviously coming, regardless of whether or not the Metal... Galaxy S5 Prime or whatever it might be, whether that actually exists.
You know, the Note series, I know this is off topic, but it just hit me in the head. That's a Samsung success story if there ever was one, isn't
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely.
That's an amazing... They took a chance that nobody would have thought that anybody really wanted. I mean, I don't care how much market research they did. Nobody thought that
I remember,
really wanted it.
I remember Dieter going to Germany to see it at IFA that first time, and we're all like, this thing's huge.
No, that was the tab.
Oh, that was you're right, that was the tablet. Okay. Well, that was huge and bad.
Mm-hmm. But
yeah.
They did it, and while it's not, it seems mainstream if you visit sites like Android Central, because we like to talk about it, it's still a relatively niche product when you look at the overall numbers.
It is mainstream. Absolutely.
You think so?
Absolutely.
You think 40 million out of a billion counts as mainstream? I don't.
I do, yes.
Okay.
That is not an insignificant number, especially when you consider the markets that they're in. If it was 40 million if that 1 billion that you're talking about was a level playing field, if there was parity there, I would agree with you, but there's not.
Okay.
For the market that the Note 3 is in, I would absolutely call it mainstream.
But Jerry is wrong. I've been wrong lots of times.
Wrong.
But they just came out of nowhere with something that nobody ever asked for.
Wrong.
And it worked.
And as much as people talk about Samsung the copycat, they basically invented that category of
button. Sure did.
Yep.
And made it their own.
Here's a good one from James. Phil, now that you've been using the Nest for a while, how would you rate it? The Nest is funny, and I see it. See if I can point to it the right way. There it is. Right there. Well, the box, anyway. Funny thing about the Nest, like you put it in and you just use it, and it feels very natural. You know, if I'm sitting at home and I need to change the temperature, I just walk by and do it. I woke up in the middle of the night last night, actually, because my daughter's rooms, the air conditioning in our house is kind of screwy, and their rooms are always either hotter or colder than the rest of the house, right? And it got fairly cold last night, and I needed to turn the heat up. I woke up at like 3 in the morning, rolled over, picked up my phone. Here, I do it right here. Picked up my phone, opened the app, and just immediately I'm able to change the temperature. And you can see right now it says I'm away, and it knows not to turn on. And I don't know if it saved any money. I haven't looked, and it hasn't been that long. It's still only been, I think, a month and a half, 2 months. And the weather here is kind of screwy anyway. But I love that I can just do those things. I love that it looks cool. It was actually pretty easy. Am I forgetting anything?
You forgot the part where you buy the three of us each one.
Maybe if you're nice this year.
Oh, well, I ain't getting one.
I like it. I don't think I'm going to buy a Nest Protect just because those things are really expensive for what they do. But I like the Nest thermostat itself. I think I would absolutely recommend one. If you don't mind spending a little extra money for something like that, very, very cool product. It's my take. Anything else on the news side you guys want to talk about that we have forgotten? Oh, I was going to ask. Amazon raised its annual Prime fee up to $99. Now, if you don't use Amazon Prime, it does a couple things. You get free two-day shipping on most everything. Is overnight shipping cheaper?
Yeah, you can get overnight for $4.
Okay. And you also get access to Amazon Prime Video and, tens of thousands of movies and TV shows, stuff that's not necessarily on the other services, on Netflix or on Hulu or whatever. And then you get free books. You get to borrow some free books, not everything, but a lot. So it was $79 before. They said, I think it's after, April 14th or something like that?
Yeah, once you renew.
Yeah, it'll be $99. It's a $20 increase. It's not an insignificant increase when you look at the percentage that it changed. It's $20. And my take was, it's $20 that I'm going to waste somewhere else, and I use the hell out of Amazon Prime. If you don't use Amazon Prime very often, well, then you got to think about it. I just don't get why people are getting so upset about it. Like, you should know how much you're using it, how many of the videos you're watching, or how often you order a package with it.
Right. Even if you don't order a package once a month, if you just watch the movies as often as somebody watches Netflix, you're getting your value out of that, even at $99.
And they haven't raised the rate in 9 years. I have zero problem with this at all. I mean, yeah, nobody likes seeing the rates for anything raised. I get that. But, just...
What if Amazon was bringing new services to Prime that are really, really cool that justify the $20 a month. That's something for us to think about. And, you know, that's just a what if. I'm not saying they are or they're not, but they have to cover the cost of their gas. I get what they said. You know, I read the email too, and that's all true. But Amazon's not stupid. They know if they tell you they need to up it by $20 to cover the cost of their gas, everybody's just going to go wild and hate on Amazon. But if they can come out maybe in a month or 2 months and offer more services to make up for that $20, everybody's happy again.
Well, and the funny thing is, somebody that complains about the $20 increase and stops paying for Prime is just going to still shop at Amazon and just pay shipping every single time, and they're just going to see the shipping rates go up there too. It's not like shipping costs, you know, haven't incrementally gone up in the last 9 years for buying something, you know, small off of an online website.
I get everything from Prime. I mean, I'm miles and miles away from buying a store where I can buy anything other than little stores. So, I mean, we get our household goods, cleaning supplies. I get all that stuff from Amazon. And, yeah, the Prime version is $2 more, but it saves me $6 shipping.
Mm-hmm.
They can up at $20 and it still works for me, but I get why it may not work for somebody who doesn't use it as much.
I think there's a subset of people who used Prime, just they like the principle of it and the ease of it, where they don't have to calculate the shipping or anything. The price they see is what they pay, and maybe they're, you know, better served if they crunch the numbers on it. But it's just kind of the flat rate of it is nice to, you know, to have, and you don't feel like you're getting nickel and dimed.
And you can buy HDMI cables at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Exactly.
With just a click.
And it'll be there the next day.
I love that. You know, like, I've been in a store somewhere with my wife and we're like, all right, we need that. And we look at the price in the store. I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to, and I just order from Amazon right there. Or if we're in the store and they don't have it and it's there the next day. It's ridiculously fun and good.
Or if you're most people in Seattle here, you get your groceries delivered every week from Amazon. So,
you know, you guys are just weird.
Do you use the Amazon app and barcode scan the item?
I haven't tried that, actually.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Because that's how I do all my shopping when I'm at Best Buy. I just scan it, check the price. If Amazon's cheaper, hit the button.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Instagram updated this week. No longer looks as well. I mean, I didn't think it looked crap.
I think it looks a lot better now.
It looks a lot better. So, Facebook, let's go.
Mm.
Looking at you. Yeah. Facebook still sucks. How about that Facebook beta? I don't get that at all.
It just gets updated like every 2 days with nothing actually happening.
Yeah.
Well, don't they have like 56,000 different versions for different people on the beta now?
Yeah, it's so bizarre. Like, the thing is, I've never seen one of those weird UIs, but.
Well, I have the you slide into the settings, and my settings menu is different like every week because even without an app update, because they just update the things in the background through their web view and things just change, you know, whether you're on stable or beta, and it just makes no sense that there's no method behind that.
Let's do a few more questions. We'll get out of here.
I got one thing before we go. We have to finish up with Alex.
Yeah.
The Google smartwatch leak. You have been following that for years. What do you think?
We mean specifically what came out this week. I think he leaks had some specs, didn't he? Maybe. We'll see. I mean, it sounds like a smartwatch.
No, I mean, do you think we're close? Do you think we're finally close to getting off their butt?
Because I mean, I was kind of wrong. Spectacularly wrong. I expected this to all happen last year.
You know what, though? But you were wrong for a very good reason. It's not like you just made that up.
Well, we might have heard something, yeah. But obviously, this has been in the works for a while. We've had, I think Sundar Pichai was saying this week that they're going to have this basically platform level support for wearables in the next couple of weeks. Based on that alone, surely you would expect something to be at I/O, and you know the specs sound like smartwatch specs. Half a gig of RAM, 4 gigs of storage, a tiny screen. I'm much more interested in what's going to happen on the software side, how the UI is going to look, whether it's going to be, as many people expect, just the glass UI ported onto something on your wrist, or whether there's going to be more unique stuff going on there.
And Google, please call it the Nexus Mini.
The software is the big question. I think if anyone's poised to do it right, it's Google. I'm half and half on Glass. I think it's some of the best turn-by-turn directions I've ever seen, but there's other parts of the swiping's not perfect. I'm real curious to see what this SDK does, wearables SDK, what they do with Glass. We haven't specifically talked about what's in store for Glass because technically it's in the private Glass Explorers forum, so I don't want to go too much into that, but Google around, it's out there where they're going and not necessarily what they're going to do, but I think obviously they had to change some things to upgrade the way they want to. So I'm real curious to see what happens to Glass with this. And it sounds like Google was excited about it as well. So that's good. Is that it? Are we done? Do you want to skip any more questions? You want to do one more?
Let's do one more.
One final one. Somebody pick it. Andrew, you pick it. You've been quiet.
Oh, goodness. Well, I've spent some time disconnecting, so that's always fun.
Sorry.
Let's see. James says, what do you think will be the next stage for mobile tech in cars?
No, a narrow question.
Well, that lets you give a nice broad answer that doesn't actually say anything if you don't.
I love, Renee and I talked about this a little bit last week on the Vector podcast, if you haven't listened to it. He was joking. He's like, man, that sounded like just you and me having conversations. Yeah. I love the idea of this iOS CarPlay. And Google hopefully is doing the same sort of thing with what it announced back at CES.
Open Automotive Alliance.
Yeah.
I mean, interesting aside, the iOS CarPlay runs on BlackBerry.
Yeah, it runs on Qnix.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Just Qnix, like most cars
it's this
already.
Layer that sits atop, basically atop what's currently on on Car Stereo.
Which is great to see Apple do.
Yes.
That's bigger than actually bringing it to the cars because they have always been pretty, tight-fisted with how they release software.
Yeah. This is a big deal. Apple doing it's a big deal. We're still waiting on Google to really roll out something like that, and maybe they'll show it at I/O this year. I don't know. I've held off buying something like the Asteroid, the Parrot Asteroid, just because was the big one the Asteroid or the Asteroid Smart? I forget. A, it's expensive. Even though we buy toys here all the time, like that's a big expensive purchase for something that I want to work right. And the stereo I have in my car right now is already pretty horrible. It's a, I think it's a Kenwood. And it's just like the worst UX ever. It's horrible. I can work it. I bought the same kind twice because I knew how to work it and I didn't want to figure out a new one. But having something that's simple and sits atop the underlying framework, and this is exciting. There's good times ahead, finally, I think.
Can I have a Asteroid Smart?
Yeah, do you want one?
If it's broken and janky, yes.
We'll see. We'll see. All right. I think that's going to do it for us. I think. If you want to, you can email us podcast@androidcentral.com, or better yet, get in here live, get in the Q&A. It's easier, it's more fun, I think. Ends up being a little more timely and topical. It's important. Go search our names on Google+. Easiest way to find us, Phil Nickinson, Jerry Hildenbrand, Alex Dobie, that other guy, Andrew Marvin. I was kidding! Most of us are on Twitter, too, except for Jerry.
I'm on Twitter. I know. Never look at it, because I hate it.
Just not actively on Twitter.
Some of us are on Instagram, too. Jerry, are you allowed back on Instagram yet?
I had to make a new name, but I did find out why they deleted me.
Oh, yeah? What was it?
A picture of Instagram on Google Play with the letters LOL above it.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
They told me that was... They removed me for harassment of other members, and apparently that harassed all the Apple people that complained
that harassed every
poor
member.
Android losers were...
But they harassed them themselves by releasing Instagram.
I don't know.
As we are every week, we are brought to you by ShopAndroid.com, who, by the way, has a 20% off sale going on through, I think, Wednesday as part of St. Patrick's Day. So that's 20% off your entire cart. Actually, at all the stores, too. And the carts work, you know, if you have an Android and you buy Android stuff and you have an iPhone, you can swap over to their store and buy iPhone stuff and pay for it all at once and get 20% off. So that's cool. If you want to do the phone thing, they're at 888-468-6158. But the website shopandroid.com is certainly easier. We should call and order something one day. We can do a big expose on ourselves.
John Stossel, live.
I'm sure they're very nice. I've never tried. I don't know. I think that's it. I think we're done. Everybody happy? Everybody good?
I am mesmerized by your fan. Every time you speak, I see it down in the corner. And through the magic of video, the blades move real slow.
That is the Vornado. That thing is awesome. We have
heard about it for like 3 weeks straight.
Oh my god, the Vornado is so cool. It's cool, you get it?
Yeah.
Get it?
Cool.
It's super quiet, so like I can leave it on while we're podcasting. The fan of my MacBook Air is much louder right now. It's really good. All right, that's it. We've got a lot of back-end stuff going on right now. We should have another app update for you shortly. I don't want to spoil any features, but... What was I doing there, Jerry?
You were scratching your palm. No, you were swiping between screens.
So hopefully that'll work soon. We're getting close. That's coming up. We are slowly kind of doing some minor redesign work. If you haven't noticed the front page, we've got smaller looking stories, which lets us do more of them without taking up as much space and without giving as much weight to them, which is really awesome. I love that. We have all these topic pages rolling out that we're literally just starting like right now. Lot of good stuff in store. So if we break something, apologies, hang in there. If things look a little weird for a minute, it's going to happen. But so much is going on right now, you have no idea. And it's all, you know, it's all coming to a head this summer. We got some really cool things in store. So I'm starting to get spring fever. I'm starting to have fun. I'm starting to be in a good mood, and that scares the hell out of me. So let's go. All have a good weekend. For everybody listening live, thank you. For everybody listening and watching later, you were also awesome, just less live. Jerry, Alex, Andrew, thank you guys.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you, Phil.
All right, catch you next week.
Later.
See you later.